years in that I want to be the first Episcopalian on Mars. I've wanted to do it a long time, and I even went so far as to research Mars 1, and I was glad to find that there was no age limit. So, not being too old, but being too set in my ways, I have slowly, over time, let go of my desire to be the first extraterrestrial missionary. What I have found, though, is that I really, really hate closing doors. Shutting off options, shutting down paths, drives me sort of categorically crazy. But the older I get, the more I've learned that if I want to have a sane and productive life, certain doors have to be shut, including being an extraterrestrial missionary. But Jesus was really good at closing doors. If you think about it, he said no to a lot more than he said yes to. He said no to being a military leader. He refused to be a magician. He said no to being sort of the people's concierge and serving wonderful food all the time. And he even let go of being God on earth. Now follow me for a second on this one because it might be a little peculiar sounding. You see, Jesus was raised from the dead and he spent time on earth showing himself to his friends. And it would have been a very good and logical next step if he were to sit down and say, all right, I'm the king of everything because I have conquered death. And there would have been 100 people, 1,000 people that would have lined up to make his throne and would have been quite happy to worship him for a long time. I would be in one of those categories. I would much prefer Jesus to be here and now, to be reigning on the earth so that I could sort of give all of my energy and time and talent to him, but that's not the path that he chose. So instead of spending just instead of spending his whole life in eternity on earth being king, he only spent 40 days here until he ascended up into heaven. That's our namesake today. That's our church. That's what we're named for. So it, I think, warrants a certain amount of time and reflection on why are we called ascension to begin with. We're called ascension because we are the ones who are to look up into the heavens for our power. We're not to look to ourselves. We're not to look to others. We're to look up into the heavens to our Lord to then give us the power that we need to live our life here on the earth. Acts chapter 1 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And at the end of this story, there's two witnesses. Now I always thought that was peculiar too, right? There's two people who say, you will see him come back down in the same way. Now, pop quiz, if you're all paying attention, what's next week? What's the thing that's supposed to come down next week? The Holy Spirit, right? He has to ascend up to his Father in order to send the power of the Holy Spirit down. And the big problem that we have as humans that if he did not leave us, we would hold on with our cold hand, my goodness, we would hold on with our cold gripping hands to him as he is, and we could never let him be more than he is. Does that make sense? If we're holding on to him, we're never going to grow. We're never going to be the people that we're called to be. And so that to me is worth celebrating. This Ascension Day is a day where we get to let go and let God, if you will. Now, when he went up into heaven, he had to close some doors. Like I said before, he closed a door on being Miracle Jesus. He closed the door on being a military leader. And he even closed the door on being the leader of the Roman resistance. When he went to heaven, he wasn't just king on earth, he was king of all creation. So these doors swing wide open. King of all creation, king of the one who sends the Holy Spirit down for us, and ascension allows him to reign everywhere and always. And ascension is not some random event, but it's woven into God's plan from the beginning. So if you want a deeper scripture study, I did include some sermon notes in your bulletin to follow along about kind of why ascension is kind of a big deal. Even though it's Memorial Day, and even though people are on the lake, ascension is still a big deal. And I want to thank you all for being here on this Memorial Day weekend to help make it a big deal. So here's my Bible quiz for you. Their ascension was not just for Jesus. Who are the two other people that ascended up into heaven? The heavens. And they both start with the same letter. Enoch and Elijah. Oh, y'all are so much. 8 o'clock was like, looked like it had been run over by a truck. So Enoch and Elijah. Enoch and Elijah were ones who were translated, if you will, up into heaven. But the big difference between Enoch and Elijah and Jesus is that those two guys ended up dying at some point. At some point later in their history, they would die. And Jesus' ascension was the only one who went up to live in the heavens forever. If you like Old Testament trivia and all that other stuff, when you leave, I would invite you to take a one-page, double-sided document about the Old Testament connections for ascension, but I promise I won't bore you with that here in the sermon today. So you got your sermon notes, pick up a bulletin by the ushers if you'd like to go even deeper. So when the ascension shut the door on earthly options for Jesus, it was a fulfillment of his deepest desire. He wanted to be with his Father. He wanted to have relationship with his Lord. He wanted to be with his Lord and to be Lord. And when he went up, it was a no turning back kind of moment, not just for him, but for us. You see, I think this ascension story is such a great story because it helps us let go of our addiction to certainty, if we let it. See, if you're like me, you are addicted to knowing how things are going to play out. You want to know the playbook, you want to know the action plan, you want to know the goals, you want to know how your mortgage is going to work out, you want to know how that test result is going to work out, but the ascension promises nothing of that. Jesus promises nothing of that kind of certainty. He does promise to be our hope and our fulfillment and all of our heart's desires, but if we think that we can ask God to give us a certain result, we have been and will be sorely disappointed. You see, Jesus is not, this shouldn't become as a surprise to us, because the whole biblical story is one story after another of letting go of certainty. Jesus, when he was at the Transfiguration, was transformed dazzling and white, and Peter loved that moment, and he wanted to hold on to it. But Jesus was already heading to Jerusalem practically as his light was coming down. During Jesus' ministry, the disciples kept trying to hold on to him as an earthly king. They thought he was great at giving bread, but they did not want a Lord who could not be contained. When Jesus died, his disciples thought they could probably piece their lives together and move on. That's until those women started talking. The idle chatter of the women. And they were going, this Jesus is alive, and they did not like their apple cart being turned over once again. And finally, when Jesus was convincingly raised, the disciples got hopeful again. They would have, like I alluded to earlier, would have been quite happy to set up a golden throne with lots of jewels. They would burn incense before him for centuries and centuries and centuries. But that's not the path that Jesus chose for them or for us. Because Jesus went to be with the Father, he tells us, he invites us, he kind of insists that for us to let go of who we think we are and let's hold on to who we are becoming. To think that we could figure out exactly what plans God has in store for us is folly at best, and I would think sinful certainty at worst. One of my favorite sayings is that even a silk rope burns when held too tightly. Even a silk rope burns when held too tightly. Clarity and certainty will burn us. It's nice when you can get it, But if you orient your life towards it, woe to you and woe to me, because you will be pierced through with many sorrows. But God is remaking us all the time, and God's ascension is an invitation to loosen our grip. Now, if you have some certainty in your life and things seem to be going according to plan and it's all soft and silky, let Jesus' ascension be a hope for you, and let your certainties not burn you in the end. If you get good at letting God be in control of your destiny, then I hope and pray you can become a lean, mean, praying machine. Now, I grew up in the bad old 70s, and so I have certain terrible music stuck in my head. And so I want to leave you with some of the bad old 70s music, because I think it's a really helpful thing to remember as we move into the ascension. And it comes from 38 Special. Like I said, the bad old 70s. And that guy sings, "Just hold on loosely, but don't let go. If you cling too tight, babe, you're gonna lose control." Now, I hope, maybe, that's stuck with you all day, like a bad cold that you can't let go out of your head. But 38 Special has something really important to say. The life well lived is a life loosely held. A life well lived is a life loosely held. And Ascension Day today is an invitation to let go of the things that we would like to hold on to and to open our hands to the heavens and to let the Lord of all creation be in charge. The joy of living for the Lord is worth holding loosely, because we could not, we cannot, and we will not ever put Jesus in a box. Happy Ascension Day.